to the 113th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. Last week, I had an article published at the website nutritionstudies.org. If you haven't read it, check it out. It's called The Frustrations of a Plant-Based Cardiologist. So it's a little bit about my story and how I came to change the way I practice medicine through plant-based nutrition. I have received a lot of emails, and I'd like to thank all of you for emailing me and anybody that's read the article. I really do appreciate the feedback, and if there's anything I can do to help anyone in their journey, feel free to email me at jamiedelaney@gmail.com. It's J-A-M-I-D-U-L-A-N-E-Y. At gmail.com. My website is drdelaney.com, and that's drdelaney.com. So I'd also like to address a mistake that I made. Last week, in the heat of the moment, I try to get these podcasts up once a week. I was a little rushed and hurried and didn't pay attention to detail and pulled a file that was an unedited file and uploaded it by mistake. I take full credit for this. I do everything on this podcast from content to recording to editing, and it was all of my fault. And I replaced it with the correct podcast, but early people that download early or subscribe may have got the unedited version, and I do apologize to that. I have no desire to hurt anybody's feelings or certainly put out unedited content there. And I learned a big lesson. I need to take things a little bit slower, even if it makes maybe taking another day to get this out. So I will try to be more careful in the future. And I appreciate anybody that emailed me to try to warn me of what I did wrong. And I appreciate the support, and I hope you accept my apology if you downloaded this incorrect version. Anyway, so what else is happening on in my day-to-day routine? As far as my training goes, I'm just about 3 weeks out to the Mendocino 50K ultra marathon, so it'll be my first ultra marathon. It's a cool event in that it's a vegan sponsored event. The Stanford Inn is the major sponsor. So, and Sid Garza Hillman, if you haven't checked out his podcast, he also has a great podcast, and he's the wellness director out there, and he's the director of the race. So I look forward to joining them, spending a little time in one of my favorite places, and trying to run 50 Ks up a mountain. When I'm used to running on the flat grounds of Florida. So I've been trying to add some weightlifting into my routine and trying to do some hill training on the treadmill. Life is busy, so you can do what you want, but it's going to be such a beautiful area to run slash walk in that I'm really looking forward to it. So I hope all that goes well from that aspect. From a gardening aspect, it's a little on the slower side. The spring season is winding down here in Florida. Still have a few tomatoes going and some beets and some root vegetables still hanging on and some peppers, but nothing too awful exciting. The mango trees are in full blossom, and I'm hoping to have some mangoes this year, maybe an avocado or two, but we're just kind of maintaining and trying to do some microgreens and some herbs and things like that that we can do on the porch and maintain our tropical fruit trees. So not a whole lot going on in that area. Start to prepare. Maybe the plan is to do some more raised beds so that we can kind of increase production on the next growing season. And, we continue to learn as well. This is a new hobby as far as, what things go together and how to get a good garden going. So it's very exciting and challenging. We started a new class this week in my six-session nutrition class, and again, have a good group of people. We always start out with a soup and a salad. I like to introduce the nitric oxide-producing vegetables, so we had a kale salad. I like to introduce new grains, so the kale salad had quinoa. We had some walnuts and cran raisins and a little avocado on that with a lemon juice dressing. And then the other was a potato leek soup. So the value of leeks in your diet or onions, you know, as far as Joel Fuhrman's G-bombs. And of course, the potato is a complete protein, and you can, it's a very healthy meal with some potato, carrots, and leeks. So everybody enjoyed that, and we got the ball rolling. And it's always nice to get a new class. I missed the previous class. The plan for the future for my nutrition classes is to start to expand and have multi-level and multi-cuisines mm-hmm. and different themes. So I'm looking forward to this summer starting to roll out different classes. We do a little education and a little PowerPoint presentation and question and answer with each one of these sessions, and we go over menu planning and mm-hmm. some of the social aspects and hurdles into transferring or transitioning into a plant-based way of eating. So today I'd like to talk a little bit more about some of the mental aspects of changing and transitioning to a plant-based diet, and perhaps, you know, along the lines of last week, exploring more about the whys. I see a variety of people in my office, and you know, a lot of the people, there are some that are extremely overweight. You know, what my daughter, the registered dietitian, would call class 3 obesity, and they're you know, sometimes they feel that there's, you know, they're kind of beyond fixing. And you know, when I see them, I know that they're trying many different ways to try to fix themselves, whether it's fasting a lot of the day, and then, you know, only to overeat again in the evening, or to try different kinds of fad diets, or, you know, try different kinds of foods which they perceive that will be helpful to them, or, you know, perhaps try supplements. Some people even turn to surgical corrections such as a gastric sleeve or bypass. I think, you know, in those people, I kind of try to look at other causes, because why are they so much more overweight than the general population that is just exposed to the standard American diet of, you know, a very calorie-dense food? And, you know, a lot of times there can be you know, whether there's been some mental trauma in their life and they see food as a comfort food. And because the comfort food is the standard American diet fast food that is, you know, high oil, high fat, high salt, you know, is that what causes it? Is there a microbial problem to start with? You know, a lot of some of these people have, they've been overweight since childhood, and their siblings are not overweight. So, you know, they're somewhat isolated. So, you know, was there an antibiotic situation that has their gut? They have this overgrowth of gut microbes that are, you know, there's chemical feedback that they're never really full, that they extract more calories. Is there also a feedback as far as neurotransmitters and overall mental health and inflammation that causes some depression, some fluctuation in mood that causes people to overeat, again, leading to comfort foods and then the standard American diet? It's all a big feedback loop. And, you know, I'd like to be able to, you know, understand people and address this, you know, more thoroughly. And it's tough to do that in a short office visit, especially if they're coming because they're having cardiac issues and we're, you know, starting to address those first. And oftentimes, you know, when I start to address the nutritional aspect of their heart issues, it's kind of a turnoff for them. And, you know, it's like, well, how will this help? Just a whole food plant-based diet? Is it just another fad diet that we're just being introduced to them as a quick fix? I do believe that plant-based nutrition in and of itself addresses a lot of these, because by eating a whole food plant-based diet, we are addressing the microbe situation. And so if we can get people started on a whole food plant-based diet, then their gut microbes are going, and it's a high fiber diet. We're going to select for gut microbes that are going to decrease the body's, lead to a decrease in glucose manufacture, a decrease in cholesterol manufacture by the liver, a switch to neurotransmitters and less inflammation that increases or improves mood, you know, help with depression. I believe that, you know, this all can help out. So if we can get people over the hump and to give this a shot, then I believe that, you know, the nutrition does address a lot of this. But I also think that people have to do the work on their own, and we have to address some of these issues, because just eating plant-based is not going to address a lot of the issues that keep people from either starting a whole food plant-based diet or maintaining it in the long run. Sometimes there's a basic fear of being different, and if they happen to be in a family that everyone is overweight and everyone eats a certain way, this fast food, you know, you get into this rut, then being the one to change takes a lot of courage. And certainly you kind of, you know, everybody wants to have that pack mentality to be like everyone else and to fit in. And there's a fear of upsetting friends and families. And it's a real fear because if especially in family members that aren't ready to make that change, that person's really fighting an uphill battle, because whether it be their spouse or their siblings and or close friends, they don't want to make that change. So it just becomes, you know, they're going to lose their comfort foods, and they're going to lose their friends, and it's just too much to give up. There's a similar situation that, you know, I observed way back in medical school. I had a friend that she went to medical school, and the idea was to become a family practitioner and go back to a rural community where she, you know, she grew up and be the family, the town doctor. And she became very much excited about the field of neurosurgery. And, you know, lo and behold, you know, the mentor that she was, you know, that she identified with was a very good neurosurgeon. And she, you know, quickly, you know, just really liked the field, and she was very good. She was obviously going to be a good surgeon. But her family was disappointed. And, you know, on the outside, it's like, how could your family be disappointed if you want to become a brain surgeon? But their thoughts on what she should do was quite different, and they didn't think they would be able to identify with her if she were to become this, you know, brain surgeon. You know, that would be so much different that she could never come home, and it caused a lot of mental anguish at first on how she was going to pull this off, and you know, how they were going to accept her. And it's not that much different, you know, when people change their diet radically. You know, how will friends accept them? How will they get along back in, you know, to the community of people that eat fast foods and, you know, a certain way of eating that's, you know, very unhealthy. Nobody wants to hear bad things about their, you know, their habits. I think that's why people turn to gastric bypass. It helps people lose weight quickly, and it kind of, you know, there's that sensation that that problem's going to go away. But, you know, really need to do the work as far as the why goes. And the thing that bothers me about the gastric bypass and the gastric sleeves is that, again, we're not addressing nutrition as far as the gut microbes. So if there is a mental aspect or a neuroinflammation, we're not addressing that. There's this, you know, a whole host of malabsorption problems. We're not addressing any of the cardiovascular side effects of poor nutrition, as far as eating the nitric oxide producing greens and phytochemicals and the nutrients. So it really, it kind of steers people in the opposite direction. So, get people to, you know, start thinking in terms of, you know, I think that you know, Justin Lacey had a really good point when he said he's going to start eating, just focusing on eating nutrient dense foods, and just try to eat healthy foods and forget about the weight loss, forget about the caloric restriction, just try to eat really healthy and eliminate all these chemicals and processed foods, and things will correct itself. And I was thinking the other day, I've leaned up myself over the years as I become more nutrient dense in my eating as well. And, you know, it's not like I did any calorie restriction, but because I'm eating more nutrient dense and more high fiber, you know, I'm decreasing my caloric intake by 25 or 30 calories a week. So over the weeks and the years, you know, you just tend to lean up a little bit, and you find that area, you know, where you kind of settle out at. So it's not necessarily something that happens quick, and it certainly it happens at a decreased rate once you've got down to eating a pretty healthy diet. But it's you still continue to lean up as time goes on. So again, you know, I would encourage people to just kind of focus on getting the junk food out and getting the animal products out and getting the oil out. And as you do that, things will, get better and better. I've had several instances over the last couple of weeks where people weren't having success. They weren't getting their glucoses under control. They weren't getting their weight under control. They weren't getting their cholesterol under control. Yet they were pretty sure that they were mostly plant-based. And there's been kind of a range in these patients. Some actually have been plant-based, but have been eating, intermittently a lot of nuts as snacking, or in, just in a variety of different foods. And, even Dr. Furman, there's this, nuts are healthy. I think everybody will admit there's some merit there. Walnuts have omega-3 fatty acids, but they're very calorie dense. So when you're getting over a quarter cup of nuts a day, then you're starting to really get into calorie dense foods. And so if you're someone that's overweight or someone that has high cholesterol and or has vascular disease already, then you really have to be strict on keeping these under the quarter cup a day. The other thing that, I've seen happen again is the intermittent pasta and bread binges. Or other fatty foods. Tofu can have a lot of fat in it. And if you're eating a tremendous amount, it's going to be calorie dense. And it is processed, not processed highly as in tofu deli slices, or soy deli slices. But tofu is somewhat processed. It's a soybean that's been processed and it's made calorie dense, just like wheat berry has been processed into flour. So if you're trying to lose weight and get things under control, eating tofu a lot of days a week can start to cause problems. And then, the other thing that I see is that there's something different almost every day. So maybe it's tofu 3 or 4 days a week. Maybe it's pasta 3 or 4 days a week. Maybe it's a nut thing 3 or 4 days a week. It could be something different almost every day of the week that's really causing people's progress to slow. So that's where people need to do a food journal and kind of look back and see, what the problem is. And then, the other thing is not identifying what they've eaten at all. I had somebody tell me that, I always ask again, what did you have for dinner last night? And they said, we didn't have dinner. Well, they weren't of the type of person that misses very many meals, so to speak. So it's like, well, if you didn't have dinner, then, what did you have? And it turns out that they just basically snacked all afternoon, and it was a really bad snack, as far as, it was Velveeta cheese and, canned tomato, hot tomatoes made into like a salsa. There's a recipe that's going around on the internet. And, and then but they didn't even think about what they were dipping in that. And then so now they're dipping Tostitos or, you know, the scoops, and they're little scoops. So again, they don't count. And sometimes those little, you know, little crackers dipped frequently can add up even quicker because people think they're small and that they're not, they have no idea how many that they're actually consuming and the caloric density of these things. So there's oil in the crackers, there's salt in the crackers, you know, and a bunch of other fillers in these, you know, toast these chips. And then, you know, you add the processed cheese and then you add the salt of the tomatoes. And this person actually got into heart failure because they had such a salt load from the processed cheese and the canned tomatoes that they retained a lot of fluid. Yet they didn't even think they had dinner the night before. So they didn't attribute anything to why they actually got into trouble. I had another patient that she was convinced that she was doing everything okay. And she probably was eating better than she ate 6-9 months ago. But she had the mindset that it was okay to eat a little bit of this or a little bit of that every once in a while. The problem was that she had no idea of the frequency of the every once in a while. So it may have been butter on bread. It may have been a couple servings of ice cream. It may have been a couple bites of this, a couple bites of that. You know, it's okay if I have a little bit of this. And here this person has, you know, very poorly controlled diabetes and it just had a bypass. So there's really none of this food that was safe for her. You know, all of this was causing worsening of her underlying disease. And, you know, I took time to explain to her, you know, the bypass, and we did the bypass because she was having intractable symptoms at rest. So her lifestyle was terribly affected. And she was, you know, she was not making the changes that she should have. And she, you know, so we did the bypass, but the bypass just bypassed that immediate problem. We didn't fix any of the underlying diseases of her diffuse vascular disease, you know, both to her heart and to her kidneys and to her legs. We didn't fix, you know, the diabetes at all with doing a bypass surgery. And, you know, so we basically just were buying her some time to get her out of trouble so that we could address these other issues. And I tried to explain it to her. And the more we talked, you know, it's like, well, why are you, you know, doing some of these things? And it turns out that she has a son living with her that does most of the cooking. And, you know, he didn't understand the process or the whys of this. And so she was just going ahead and eating, what she, you know, what he prepared. And, you know, so that was throwing a stumbling block into things. And, you know, the other thing that, you know, her husband was trying to do some cooking and he was trying to cook more healthy. But then she was always saying, well, I don't like this and I don't like that. And, you know, it needs salt. It doesn't have any taste. So he was giving up. So, you know, it just was this, you know, snowballing effect, getting her back into the same situation that she was, you know, she's going to get back into the same situation she was before her bypass. And, you know, the whole family was becoming frustrated. You know, everybody was trying. And, you know, so I encouraged them to, you know, as a family, take the nutrition class so we could kind of get everybody on board. But, you know, until the patient herself realizes, you know, that she is actually sabotaging her own health, it's not going to work. I listened to a podcast this week that interviewed a former record holder free diver, Tanya Streeter, and I'm actually trying to get her on the podcast if she's out there. You know, I'd love to interview her. But, you know, when talking about achieving her goal, she stated that your mind is either your weapon or your weakness. And I think that applies to just about everybody. We can talk ourselves into something. Or we can use our mind to, you know, talk us out of it. and create all kinds of excuses. We can create a scenario in our mind that has nothing to do with reality and then live our lives accordingly. Or we can formulate a plan and live according to that. So it's, you know, again, I've been spending more time with people to get those scenarios in your head. You know, if we do this, then we, you know, we're going to do that. Have a plan and a game plan before you get into your situation where you fall back into the comfort foods, or you fall back into just grabbing something that you normally would do. And it helps to find people that are doing what you do. We all gravitate to want to be part of a group. I think, you know, it's why this podcast is, you know, gaining popularity, and a lot of plant-based podcasts are coming up. Everybody wants to form a community. Once you've experienced the health of eating plant-based, you know, you want to share with others, but there's also this desire to have someone to share an experience with or be supported by, and get someone to be accepting of what you're doing. My daughter has been here in Florida with me for the past couple of months doing a rotation, and in dietetics, you know, to become it's her internship so that she can sit for the registered dietitian board, and so she's doing her hospital rotation, and so the other interns are not plant-based. And so she's brought in her lunches that are plant-based, and, you know, they see them, and it looks good, and it's somewhat eye-opening. Hasn't really caught on completely. Luckily, the hospital that she was interning at really was nutrition-forward as far as having a lot of plant-based options for people to choose from. They had a kale bar there, and they've had different kinds of build-your-own plant-based lunch. But the last day, she actually brought in a chocolate cake that was plant-based, you know, without any processed oil. And it was delicious, and, you know, it was a way to share with other people. And it made her part of a group because everybody had, everybody likes chocolate cake for the most part. So if you can share chocolate cake, or you can share something that everybody likes, it makes you part of a group. And perhaps that group will start to look, you know, at other things that you do that are similar. So if you're just transitioning to a whole food plant-based diet, you know, look for a meetup group in the area, a tropical fruit or a gardening group in the area, so that you can find people that are like-minded, because that's a tremendous support in your transition. I had a patient come in this week that had taken my nutrition class about 2 or 3 months ago, and it was brand new to her. She didn't really do much cooking on her own. She didn't have a lot of experience with a lot of different vegetables. And I made reference to her before where, you know, she went to the farmer's market for the first time and saw vegetables that she didn't realize, or I'm sorry, that she didn't know anything about, and she kind of walked out without buying one. But her mom came to stay with her during part of the time since. And, you know, she had a discussion with her mom. It's like, you know, hey, I want to try to eat like this. I want to try to do more plant-based. And I want to do these recipes, and I want to avoid processed food and oils. And so her mom cooked this way, and it was actually going well. And she was liking the meals, and she wasn't missing meat. But that support was huge. And for the first time in a long time, she's starting to feel better. She's getting more energy. Her weight is starting to go down, and she's encouraged. And she kind of made the deal with the devil that on the weekend she wasn't going to worry about, eating strictly plant-based, and she was still going to go out with her friends for now. But, you know, she's becoming encouraged, and she's also noting that when she does eat differently on the weekend, she doesn't feel it near as well. And so she's seeing the results, and I'm hoping with continued support that, you know, she'll continue to make her choices more and more nutrient dense, you know, more and more plant-based. I think it was, you know, really interesting when I read that article last week, and I presented it on the chlorella, and, you know, how scientists thought that we could make people just focus on eating nutrient dense and not worrying about anything else and just eat to eat, basically. And that was, you know, way back in the 50s, and obviously that hasn't caught on. You know, I guess mainly because we're human, and once you get the taste of sugar, oil, and fat, it's, you know, it's kind of hard to unwind those things and change your focus, especially when you have all the marketing that we have to try to draw people the different ways. So, you know, I think to just say eat nutrient dense and be done with it is not near as easy as, you know, just saying that. You know, we all know that if we just ate to eat and ate strictly based on that, that we'd all do better. But there's so many tempting things around. It is hard to stay on that path. So, you know, we have to live in reality, and you know, continue to try as hard as we can. But again, certainly, you know, staying away from these awful things that are processed and marketed. And, you know, once you have your conviction set and you know why you're doing them, it's a lot easier. You know, I was kind of thinking, you know, I had another set of patients that their family, they had family staying with them for a month. And even though they'd been through the class, they really hadn't changed to becoming 100% plant-based because they had these people living with them. And, you know, they didn't want to upset the boat as far as the way that the guest traditionally ate. And of course, then their kids were kind of getting on the bandwagon saying, we don't want to do it either. And so they weren't really making much of a transition. And this guy's a diabetic, and, you know, he's not making much in the way of progress. And, you know, on one hand, it's really hard for me to, you know, wrap my head around the fact that, hey, you know, I've got a disease here and you're staying with me and I'm buying the food. So I'm going to buy what's healthy for me. And it really will be healthy for you. And let's all make this change together. To have that amount of courage to do that, you have to have conviction in what you're doing. And you have to really want to do that. And, you know, I don't think that you would ever go into Dr. Furman's house or Dr. Esselstyn's house for the weekend and they're going to serve you meat or, you know, Dairy Queen. It's just not going to happen because they have firm convictions that this is the way that they're going to eat and this is the way they perceive that it is healthy. And, you know, if you're not going to poison yourself, why poison your visitors? The other day, you know, this kind of all ties in, but, you know, I've been doing push-ups, and I started out at 22, and I was doing them every day, and I was recording them on Facebook and doing the push-up challenge, and I gradually increased until I was up to 44, and I quit putting them on Facebook, but I kept doing the push-ups. And I've missed 2 days since I started in the fall. And every day, so now I'm up to actually doing 100 a day. And almost every day I start by saying, you know, I don't really feel like doing 100 today. I'm just going to do the 22. And if I do the 22, then I'll still have my push-up streak going for the most part. But I'm not going to do the full 100. And so, but as soon as I do the 22, that usually stretches into 35. And then the 35, I say, okay, I'll get to 50. And then, well, if I'm up to 50, I might as well do the 65. And then I'll do like, you know, 10 push-ups, 10 to 15 in increments over the couple of minutes. And so, you know, by that 5 minute, you know, 10 minute period, I've done my 100 push-ups, and I feel so much better that, you know, I've completed the 100 push-ups. And, you know, I've noticed a lot of improvements as far as, you know, how I feel. I don't get sore after them. My running's improved. You know, I think it's a good core workout as well because you're kind of, you know, standing there on your arms while you're kind of waiting between the push-ups. And so there's a lot of good results, but I still have to talk myself into it almost every morning. You know, before it started out as I needed to record on Facebook for the Facebook challenge. And then it became people are starting to wait for them. And then I wanted to do them myself when I wanted to get up to a certain number. Now I've started to journal them with my morning runs. I document how far I run, and then I document how many push-ups I do. So it's become a routine for me, but it's taken a while. But again, I have that sense that maybe I don't want to start it, but I'm just, if I can just get myself started, then I'm okay. And that same situation can be applied, you know, to your nutrition. You know, maybe I just don't want to cook tonight, but if I just get started, then I'm only going to do, you know, a baked potato, and I'm just going to open up a can of beans. And it's like, oh, well, I have some vegetables there. I can, you know, I can open those up. Or maybe I don't want to go to the store. Well, I'm just going to go to this tiny little store and pick up a few things. I have stores that I go to that are more convenient than other ones. You know, the big grocery stores, or my farmer's market that's a little bit further out, you know, I may not want to go to, but I have a little health food store that carries a good many greens, and I can get a good many things there. So I'll stop there. And I don't mind stopping there because I can get in and out real quick. And then we have a tiny little Walmart that has a produce section up front that's nobody is because there's not that many people buying produce. So I can get in and out. They have a self-checkout. So I get myself like, okay, just stop there. It's not that much further out of your road. You can be in and out in 5 minutes. So if you can, you know, if you can find that for yourself, find a place that you can go shopping quick, find, you know, certain items that you can cook when you don't want to cook that are simple, you know, it always works out. You can always do that burrito bowl, you know. So if you have beans and salsa around and, you know, an avocado and some greens, then you're good to go. You can always make that sushi bowl. You could always, you know, make a quick soup. So have three or four things that you can do really quick if you don't feel like it. And then, you know, perhaps also have, you know, two or three snack foods or hors d'oeuvres that you can make if somebody's coming over that you can serve to them without getting the, you know, quote, Velveeta cheese and canned tomatoes out, so that you have options. Because when you give yourself options and, you know, they're options you like, you're more likely to do them. And the more you do them, the better habits you develop. You know, even if you're starting with breakfast and you know, your breakfast bowl with the oatmeal and the blueberries and the walnuts and the flaxseed, you know, you've got that down. And so then the next thing you focus on is you focus on your lunch and, you know, just keep working. But note that, you know, you just got to get started. And if you can just get started, it, you know, it's helpful. So if you're out there and I could have the talk with you, if you're the person that's really overweight and really struggling and feel like you're kind of up against a wall, or you just kind of have given up because there's, you know, you feel like you're too far down the other side to bring it back, I'll say, no, you're not. Listen to some of these other podcasts and these other people. Get online. There's a whole host of people that have lost hundreds of pounds on a whole food plant-based diet just by one step at a time. Forks over knives, post-success stories. You know, there's a law. I'll post a couple sites myself, but, you know, people that I've interviewed, Justin Gray, Justin Lacey, Tim Kaufman, Josh Lajani, they've all made tremendous strides and not only got a hold of their weight and become plant-based and become nutrient-focused, they're paying it forward and helping other people, and they love to share their story and they love to share you know, what their accomplishments are and how they went about it and step by step. And you know, some of them are, they're just someone to identify with and that you can do it. And, you know, certainly when you become plant-based, you're making your body healthy completely. You know, you're making your arteries healthy. You're making your joints healthy. You're making your immune system more healthy. You're turning off those genes that cause cancer. you're making your neurotransmitters better, so your mindset will be better. So it's much, much more than just getting rid of the weight. And, you know, like your mother says, anything worth doing is, you know, doing it the hard way is much easier. And, you know, there is something to the suffering and the struggle, because the more you struggle or suffer, the more you appreciate it. And the more that you've learned that if you've suffered through something, that you can, you know, you can do a lot of things. You know, once you've accomplished this, it just opens the door to more and more things that you can do, and it decreases your fear about trying new things and more difficult things. So, you know, I would encourage you to, you know, give this a chance and stay with it, and, you know, write down a plan and journal, you know, where you're tripping up, and get your situation set, you know, if and then, like I've talked about with Tim Marie in the past. And Tim Marie and I are going to continue to have these talks and on in the podcast, so that we can share struggles and give some solutions as well, and things to think about. You know, if nothing else, things to think about. And then I'm going to close on a documentary that I watched this week and that I would encourage all of you to watch. It's called A Plastic Ocean. And it talks about what kind of trouble our oceans and environment is into because of all the plastics that we consume. And if you just look around at everything that you touch that has plastic associated with it, the baggie, the one-time use wrappers from things, those are all going into the plastic bottles, they're all going into our oceans and our environment, and they don't go away. They're there. And so, you know, I've really, you know, my new focus in life is to start making sure that I recycle every bit of plastic that I possibly can, and contain it and use as little plastic as I can. And certainly, you know, I saw this in the hospital with a doctor the other day. It was microwaving in styrofoam. You just leach the carcinogens out of those plastic containers when you microwave. So don't microwave anything in a plastic. Don't let plastic touch your food for any prolonged periods of time. Get yourself a stainless steel bottle to drink out of. You know, just because it's not BPA doesn't mean it doesn't have a lot of other chemicals that are leached out, especially when things get hot and sit outside. So try to limit the plastic in your life as a potential carcinogen. And then it's just such an environmental hazard. You know, the whales and the fish from shrimp to whales are being terribly affected, as well as seabirds. So I encourage you to watch this this documentary. I'm going to try to have them on the podcast to talk about it as well. But it is that movie was as life-changing or altering for me as Forks Over Knives was, I believe, as far as environmental impact. So do check it out. Like I said before, if you have any questions for me, jamiedelaney@gmail.com. I'm starting to expand my online presence, and it's certainly going to expand a lot here come in July. That was Gretchen. She says hello. And again, eat your plants, get out and move your body. And until next time, have a great week.